RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia to achieve world first international forestry agreement with European Union. Indonesia secures legal timber license from European Union. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and European Union are preparing to implement the World First Forest Law Enforcement Governance and Trade Voluntary Partnership Agreement almost 10 years after initial negotiation began in 2007. The Joint Implementation Committee between Indonesia and European Union Commission will meet in Brussels May 18 to determine an implementation date. This was announced by Indonesian Foreign Minister in a statement. The Foreign Minister first initiated mandatory verification system of legal login with European Union to ensure the credibility of exported timber products. Since being implemented in January 2013, the mandatory verification system of legal login has had a number of amendments to comply with improvement to Indonesian laws and the interests of stakeholders. Currently, Indonesian small medium businesses are requiring government assistance and facilitation in acquiring the mandatory verification system of legal login certification to enable them to export to Europe. Indonesia has obtained the much sought after Forest Law Enforcement Government Trade Voluntary Partnership Agreement from the European Union, which will allow the country to export more timber products and help it combat illegal logging. The Forest Law Enforcement Government Trade Voluntary Partnership Agreement is an agreement between European Union and several countries, including Indonesia, designed to ensure legality in processing, harvesting, and trading timber products. Indonesian Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya at the press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said that apart from combating illegal logging, the license will also give us leverage, especially as a country which produces high standard timber products. Trade Minister Thomas Lembon said the license will expedite due diligence procedure before any product enters European market, saving the country time and money, and ultimately boost export to European Union countries. Indonesia and other export destination country for timber products include Australia, United States, and Japan. Indonesian current account deficit shrank in the past 3 months of 2016 from the previous quarter to $4.67 billion, or 2.14% of gross domestic product GDP, the central bank said on Friday. Bank Indonesia revised the deficit for October-December to $5.07 billion, or equivalent to 2.37% of GDP on Friday. Previously reported a $5.11 billion deficit US dollar, or around 2.39% of GDP for the fourth quarter in a report in February. The country's balance of payments in January-March slid back into a deficit of $287 million from $5.09 billion surplus in the final quarter of 2015. The current account is the broadest measure of a country's foreign trade in both goods and services. It's part of a balance of payments which summarizes an economic transaction with the rest of the world. Indonesia is hoping to seal a free trade agreement FTA with Australia in 2017, followed by a comprehensive economic partnership agreement CEPA with European Union in 2018. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Trikaslembon said that CEPA would be beneficial in increasing non-oil and gas exports. Indonesia started working on CEPA 4 years ago under then the Trade Minister Marielka Bangestu, but it was shelved. Minister Lembon acknowledged that Indonesia lagged behind Vietnam and Philippines in market access. While enjoying a commodity boom, Indonesia neglected the downstream industry while the other countries worked hard to attract investors and create free trade access. The Trade Ministry plans to improve the appeal of lifestyle products such as attire, furniture, and jewelry by offering a joint program between polytechnic schools and designers. Andri Yansyah, head of the City Transportation Agency, said on Tuesday that the motorists would be guided to pass through alternate roads when main thoroughfares were overcrowded. The agency had isolated the 45 most crowded areas in the city, and Andri also added that it will receive shared attention, namely by deploying an increased number of agency officers and traffic police to help motorists seek alternative roads. Another solution may be to alter traffic lights, extending the duration of green light in the areas that are prone to serious traffic gridlock, he added. Separately, Riri Asnita, head of the City Bina Marga Agency Planning Division, said that Bina Marga is improving the barriers separating Transjakarta corridors from Kemun Road lanes and fixing pothole along Jalan Tamrin and Jalan Sudirman. Riri also explained that improvement potential is limited at certain sites due to the mass rapid transit. The discontinuation or bidding of coal-fired power plant Jawa 5 with a capacity of 2x1,000 MW in Seran Banten could implicate the 35,000 MW project. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said stated that the discontinuation of bidding process without explanation from the state-owned electric company PLN sends a bad signal to investors. Despite not yet receiving any official report from the PLN, he considered that the reasons behind the discontinuation must be disclosed in details. The uncertainties in the discontinuation could hamper the 35,000 MW mega project launched by the government over the next 5 years, according to him. Minister Sudirman also calls on the PLN to keep consistent with the government policies to maintain market trust. The last item, the pros and cons related to the implementation of Jakarta Bay Reclamation Project have continued to surface despite the government's decision to impose a moratorium on it. 9 developers, including major private real estate and state-owned companies, have received permits to build a total of 70 islands in Jakarta Bay, with an estimated investment at around 150 trillion rupiah or around $11.4 billion. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has frequently cited Dubai and Singapore as successful example of reclamation work, stating that Jakarta Bay reclamation would make the city as fun as them. Super blocks are planned to be built on the new islands. The reclamation of northern coast of Jakarta is expected to transform the area into a hub for economic growth. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Patrice Rarambi has visited recently C and D and G Islands to get first-hand information regarding the Jakarta Bay Reclamation Project. After inspecting the project, Minister Rizal called for a study on the use of reclamation project to prevent them from becoming barriers that divide the poor from the rich. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Increased Tension in the South China Sea and its Solution. The tension in the disputed South China Sea area continues to increase. Two superpower countries, namely China and the United States, make their own maneuver. China's Navy fleet has intentionally expelled U.S. warships from the region, recognized by Beijing as its home territory. Previously, the U.S. warship USS William Lawrence sail within 12 nautical miles of Fairy Cross Reed Islands, which are claimed by China. Beijing government named the region as Nansha Islands. Meanwhile, internationally, the disputed region is called as the Spratly Islands. In one hand, United States makes the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea relating to the zone of vessel movement up to 12 nautical miles to zone area as its pretext. On the other hand, the Ministry of Defense of China stated that the entry of the U.S. ship without permission from Beijing into waters near Spratly is a serious act of provocation. The tension in the South China Sea is getting heated after Beijing has done construction of facilities in the region massively. Historically, China claims that some areas in the South China Sea have belonged to China since ancient dynasties many centuries ago. For China, the South China Sea is an area with great potential economic resources. Besides having a large marine ecosystem with the highest biodiversity in the world and being able to produce fish with the highest number of the world, the South China Sea is said to contain 50 billion tons of crude oil and more than 20 trillion cubic meters of natural gas. The tension is getting increased with the entry of the USA into the region. It can be said that both major countries' maneuver in the disputed territory is one of the causing factors of the tension escalation. Based on the recent incident, reaction from ASEAN countries is awaited. For ASEAN, both China and the United States are equally strategic partners, but each ASEAN member state may have a different standpoint and interest in regard to the South China Sea. Indonesia itself especially requests that all parties have to find the best solution to peacefully resolve the dispute. At least, the conflicting parties refrain from provocations. They should jointly find solution for the best settlement. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on May 13, 1950. The competition of Grand Prix Formula One is held for the first time. Before it was held, the official game of four-wheel vehicles, motorsport competition has existed since 1894. However, on May 13, 1950, will be the starting point of the official four-wheel vehicles competition or Formula One. The first Grand Prix was held at Silverstone Circuit, England, with a distance of about 300 kilometers. At the starting Formula One race, it was dominated by Italian racer Giuseppe Farina with his Italian car Alfa Romeo. On May 13, 1969, Chinese-Malay racial riot occurred in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Incidents of racial violence between ethnic Chinese and Malays that occurred in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on May 13, 1969, which left around 184 people dead. At that time, Malaysia suffered from wealth inequality between groups of Chinese descent, who mostly traders, who control most of the Malaysian economy with poor Malay population. In addition, the Chinese also controlled most of the country's wealth. Racial riots in Singapore in 1964 was also one of the causes of the country's exit from Malaysia. We conclude with May 1998 riots in Jakarta. May 1998 riots was a violence that occurred on 13th to 15th of May 1998, especially in the capital Jakarta, also in some other areas. The riot was started by the Asian financial crisis triggered by the Trisakti tragedy, in which four students at Trisakti University were shot dead and killed during a demonstration on May 12, 1998 and the topple of President Suharto. In the riots, many shops and businesses destroyed, and especially belonging to Indonesian citizens of Chinese descent. In the riot, there were many Indonesian citizens of Chinese descent left Indonesia. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today's edition will talk about Mutual Declaration for the World Peace. The Nahdlatul Ulama Central Board organized International Summit of the Moderate Islamic Leader ISOMIL in Jakarta on May 9 to 10 in an effort to inspire peace in the world. The meeting, which was attended by hundreds of clerics and scholars from various countries, produced 16 declarations of Nahdlatul Ulama. Chairman of the Nahdlatul Ulama, or NU, Kiai Haji Aqil Siraj, at the close meeting of the International Moderate Islam in Jakarta Tuesday, May 10th, said, "It is time for Muslim countries to unite to bring peace throughout the world." According to Said Aqil Siraj, the declaration of Nahdlatul Ulama called the importance of for unity among the Muslim. He also invites all scholars for taking jihad. Said Aqil Siraj asserted that jihad is not only war, but jihad is to keep peace, so it is the real jihad. Nahdlatul Ulama declaration delivering 16 important points about the formulation of a strategy for a global peace. The declaration condemned the attitude of extremists and terrorists who threaten world peace. In addition, the Nahdlatul Ulama also invites scholars around the world, as well as interfaith leaders, to keep the peace. The declaration also expressed the importance of the values concept of Islamic archipelago, or Islam Nusantara, which the values of ethics and spirit can be an inspiration for the world peace. He asserted, Nahdlatul Ulama did not intend to export Islam Nusantara to other regions in the world, but to invite the Muslim community to recall the beauty and dynamism that rises from the historical meeting between the spirit and teachings of Islam with local cultural reality around the world, which has been spawned a variety of great civilizations such as in the archipelago. Related to the matter, another NU figure, Kiai Haji Yahya Stakuf, asserted it can be an ethic principle and reference to keep civilization in Indonesia. He evaluated Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Somalia, Iraq, India, and some other countries have previously strong Islamic civilization but currently removed due to the conflict. Nahdlatul Ulama's declaration that has been formulated on the closing ceremony of the International Moderate Islamic Agenda can be a calling of peace and the strategy to keep harmony in various countries in the world. Yahya Stakuf said, NU has initiative to take its role in peace effort in several prone conflict countries. Meanwhile, the rector of Kulliyatud Da'wah University, Lebanon, Sheikh Abdul Nasser Jabri, said the values that has been developed by NU during the time, in line with Prophet Muhammad's teaching, in improving people's culture, particularly in developing modernization and tolerance. The moderate Islamic paradigm should be continuously campaigned by various parties because the mission is the most principal in Islam. Similar thing also conveyed by Syrian scholar Taufik Ramadan Al-Buti. He said the scholars' meeting in Jakarta is important. This condition can create peace for the world amid the global terrorism. Therefore, Syria completely supports the concept of Islamic archipelago or Islam Nusantara. Taufik Ramadan Al-Buti further said, the concept can give comprehension and invite people to love their country and keep the tradition well. That was the focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesia and the European Union are preparing to implement the world-class Forest Law Enforcement Government Trade Voluntary Partnership Agreement almost 10 years after initial negotiations began in 2007. Indonesian current account deficit shrank in the past 3 months of 2016 from the previous quarter of 4.67 billion started around 2.40% of gross domestic product GDP, the central bank said on Friday. Indonesia is hoping to seal a free trade agreement FTA with Australia in 2017, followed by a comprehensive economic partnership agreement SEPA with European Union in 2018. Andri Jansa, head of the City Transportation Agency, said on Tuesday that the motorists would be guided to pass through alternate roads when main thoroughfares were overcrowded. The pros and cons related to the implementation of the Jakarta Bay Reclamation Project have continued to surface, despite the government's decision to impose a moratorium on it. 9 developers, including major private real estate and state-owned companies, have received permit to build a total of 70 islands in Jakarta Bay, with an estimated investment of around 150 trillion rupiah or $11.4 billion. The discontinuation of bidding of coal-fired power plant Jawa 5 with a capacity of 2x1,000 megawatt in Seran Banten could implicate the 35,000 megawatt project. That's just in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Banyuwangi, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder would like to introduce one new natural destination in Banyuwangi, East Java, namely Banjar Tourism Village. Tourism Village is located in Licin sub-district, transformed into a tourism village that attracts tourists. The expanse of rice field with a system of terraces add beauty to the natural charm of this village. As an area at the foot of Mount Ijen, Banjar become the strategic region because it is passed by tourists who trekking to Mount Ijen. The opportunity is captured by Karang Taruna Youth Creative to develop Banjar Village into a tourism village. They make trekking path passing paddy field belonging to local people by selling the scenery, which is equally beautiful with tourism village in Ubud, Bali. The path is to variety. The longest lane is about 5 kilometers than the middle and short lane. Listener, the distance from Banyuwangi city center to the Banjar village is only about 15 kilometers. The village can be reached by driving 2 or 4 wheels vehicle. When arriving in Banjar village, you will immediately see the sprawling views of rice field in several villages. Between the hamlets of the village is usually separated by river. Each local people garden in this village spread a lot of fruit trees such as durian, mangosteen, rambutan, young coconut, and pala. This is an attraction of the Banjar village. In addition to presenting the stretch of terraced rice field, Banjar village also has a tradition of making palm sugar that is quite unique. When tapping palm wine, they usually perform traditional procession that has mystical value. Banjar village residents are required to wear black clothes and singing hymns and special spell. Wearing black clothes and singing, they believe the tree can produce the nira profusely. After they have collected nira, then cooked and traditionally processed into various foods and sugary drinks. Interestingly, the juice can be enjoyed in all stages of processed products. Then, if it is cooked in the traditional way over a wood stove, the water is already boiling sap that can be enjoyed immediately, called sajing. If the nira is already thickened, commonly called ketek banyu or ketek semut, and can be processed into a variety of traditional foods. If you're traveling to Banjar, you will be invited to see the nira cooking process into various meals which is ready to eat. You are also invited to enjoy the uniqueness coffee utek gula aren, served with red curry and Banjar typical snacks like balu kuwuk, jenak procot, iwel-iwel and kulupan mustard or cassava wrapped in palm sugar. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Banjar Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Indonesia is known as the agrarian country because most of Indonesian people are farmers. Agriculture in Indonesia has known several kinds of artificial fertilizer, pesticides, and high-quality seeds since 1969. As a result, Indonesia has undergone increasing productivity until it reached self-sufficient on food in 1986 and received an award from Food and Agriculture Organization FAO from the United Nations. But the continuous usage of synthetic pesticides will harm the ecosystem balance and contaminate the environment until it will have a negative impact on agriculture production. Therefore, in today's edition of Miscellany, we'll inform you about pesticide of natural material from cigarette industry waste.
listener, more recently, it has been realized that the usage of synthetic pesticide is like a dilemma. Under the big benefit to increase agriculture production, in fact, pesticides have hidden harms and horrible dangers for human beings. The negative impacts are causing environment pollution, intoxication, which are fatal to trigger cancer, disability, and many other diseases. Realizing the danger, a group of students of Indonesian Islamic University in Yogyakarta, Indrasti Dwi Pujilestari Cahyati, Rizky and Marlina from Chemistry Study Program created an environmentally friendly natural pesticide from cigarette waste such as the leaf and tobacco shaft. The innovation has been through an intensive research to gain benefit from the waste in order to help the chili farmers in overcoming the pest. The pests are considered as the huge danger for chili farmers because of its destructive effect. According to Dwi Pujilestari, the leaf and shaft extract contains high nicotine alkaloid. This substance is similar with neurotoxin that can paralyze insects. This environmentally friendly and natural pesticide works by interrupting insects' nerve system. And the residue can travel easily in the nature, so it will not affect the environment. To extract the substance, it takes several processes. First, the tobacco waste is ground and soak in a methanol solvent. Then the extract is strained to get the raw extract. The extract is then processed again until it results in alkaloid compound that is ready to use as pesticide solvent. Even it proves to be effective to eliminate the chili pest, the students still need further research to know more the combination of the solvent to extract tobacco waste that most effective as the natural pesticide. Besides, the students are still developing way to make natural pesticide to be applied by the chili farmers. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Pesticide of Natural Material from Cigarette Industry Waste. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again in the next edition of Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Nini Karlina, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. And listener, to begin today's segments of Music Corner, here is a song entitled Gantengnya Pacarku by Nini Karlina. Happy listening!
At this time, I have the honor to present to you
the Grand Wizard
Part 2.
Oh,
Nini Herlina, known as Nini Carlina, gained her popularity in Indonesian music scene in 1992 when she released a song entitled Gantengnya Pacarku in her very first album. Nini Carlina was born in Banyuwangi, East Java on July 12, 1976. Her collaboration with Doel Sumbang, an Indonesian popular male singer, in a song entitled Kalau Bulan Bisa Ngomong, brought Nini Carlina's name to the top of her popularity in Indonesian dangdut world. Nini Carlina-Doel Sumbang duet, known to be very dynamic, and the duo has collaborated in several other songs, among others, Aku Cinta Kamu, Rindu Aku Rindu Kamu, Malioboro, and Tembang Cinta. During her career, Nini Carlina released several albums entitled Tembang Cinta in 1995, Tak Main Main, Harap Maklum in 2000, Bulan Andung Andung in 1997, and Pana Asmara in 2002. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Nini Carlina.
Rindu aku, rindu kamu, cinta kita.
Cinta kita berdua juga pasang sayang.
Ketika tiba-tiba ombak di laut surut,
cinta Listener, in 1994, under HP Records, Nini Carlina included in a group named HP Girls together with other popular dangdut singers Mary Andani, Baby Ayu, and Anis Marcella. HP Girls released an album entitled Anak Mama with Jeffrey Bule as the music director and Dul Sumbang as the songwriter. Still in 1994, Nini Carlina joined another group called Kelompok Solidaritas or Solidarity Group, consisted Indonesia's top singers and musicians in the 90s. The group found by one of Indonesian rock icon, Ian Antono, in an album project. Under Blackboard Indonesia, Kelompok Solidaritas released an album entitled Kelompok Solidaritas with a hit song entitled Bunga Kehidupan composed by Indonesian legend Iwan Fals. Although she was known as a dangdut singer, never stopped Nini Carlina to try another music genre such as pop, ethnic, and slow rock. She sometimes performed Mandarin songs, made her also known as a multi-genre singer. Listener, to conclude today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by Nini Carlina entitled Panah Asmara and Merana Lagi. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.